Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Proudest Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide, and I also have my amazing co-host, Michael Callahan, who is a self-made millionaire by the time he was 29 years old. Today, our topic is self-employment versus employment. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio and Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we are giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring out my co-host, Michael. Michael, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Al?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, brother. Doing great. Haven't slept for a little bit. I just landed here in Athens, Greece. Continuing on my journeys, of course. I'm going to be doing a few countries here in the next 3 weeks, but going to keep my commitment with you and the amazing show and all the work you're doing. So excited about the call.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. So how's your flight and how's Greece doing?
Well, I just landed a couple of hours ago, so I just got settled into my place, and I'm going to go see the sunset in about as soon as the call's over. That's what I'm going to do today, see the sunset, go hang out at a local restaurant. I'm here with some friends, so just going to have a nice quiet night and then get ready for a full day of activities tomorrow.
Phenomenal. Anything in particular you're going to be doing in Greece, or are you just going to enjoy the sights?
Well, when you think about, like, how old Greece is, it's pretty crazy, right? Because, like, even the United States is only, like, 300-400 years old, you know? So here there's things that are thousands and thousands of years old. So I'm just going to take in all the history and culture and food and just get around a lot. You know, there's things that I've looked up online. But I'll be posting some pictures, so you'll be seeing those.
Right on, right on. So our topic today is self-employment versus employment. There's an obvious difference between the two. But from your perspective, what is the difference?
Well, I think that when you're working for somebody else, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that there's definitely a lot of people out there who, you know, who work the 9-to-5 and put in those 40, 50 hours a week. And it's noble work. You know, my parents are like that. You know, my dad does watch repair. My mom, she was a union organizer for a while, and then she's just kind of like a person who takes care of senior citizens. But I think that as long as you're working a job, you're limited to what you can do. So I'll kind of break it down this way, okay? If you think about the way the world works, there are people in the world that make a lot of money but have no time. And usually those are the self-employed people, right? People that are like doctors or maybe even attorneys or personal trainers, chiropractors. Like, I know plenty of people that are self-employed, but they're working all the time. And then these are people that have a lot of money but don't really have the time. And then there's people that have no money whatsoever but have a lot of time. And these are unemployed people, right? So, like, if you're unemployed, like, you have no money, but you have plenty of time. You have your whole day to yourself, right? You can do whatever you want with your time. So that's the second type of person. So first type of person, plenty of money but no time. Second type of person is plenty of time but no money. And then there's this odd group of people that I can't seem to wrap my head around, which these are the people who are employed. So I know plenty of people, and I'm sure you do too, Al, and I'm sure there's people on the call who know people like that, but there's people that have no money and no time. And I found myself in that situation, right? Like, this is when you're working 40 to 50 hours a week and you're still living paycheck to paycheck. So you have no money, but you also don't have time. So it's kind of strange how you can be in that predicament. And then the last type of person is somebody who has money and time simultaneously. So when I look at people who are self-employed, I think you kind of have to go beyond self-employment. You have to go to the point where you're a business owner. And being a business owner and being self-employed is different. Because self-employed people, it's like you're the one-man show or the one-woman show. So if something happens to you, it's like the business is over. Or if you take time off, it's costly. Time with your family is costly. Like, any time that you're not working, you're not earning dollars. That's the problem with self-employment. But if you go beyond self-employment, if you go to the point of being a business owner where you have people working for you, where you can generate leverage, that's what you really want to strive for. As far as being an employee, I think being an employee and just kind of working for somebody else, it's unfortunate because at that point you're like at the mercy of your employer, right? You get told when you get time off. You get told how much you earn, right? They can fire you at any moment. So it's definitely, there's no real freedom when it comes to having a job. So I think that for people who are not just seeking success but seeking freedom, it's always good to look at self-employment and then once again go beyond that and go to being a business owner where you can have time and money simultaneously.
I'm enjoying listening to you, Michael, in the sense of you really broke it down to with the four categories. So for the audience members that are out there that have a 9-to-5 job or work for corporate America or corporate whoever, you know, wherever they live, how do you wrap your mind around of other possibilities? And here's the thing. I remember these days where I used to think about job security was important, and that was my number one priority, is to have that secure feeling. But eventually, as I evolved, I realized that freedom was much more important than security. But I would be honest with you, and maybe this happened to you too. It was scary. It was scary to venture out on my own. What do you tell the audience members in regards to dealing with the fear factor of letting go of that security of having a job and venturing out on your own?
You know, it's a tough one to answer, Al, in a short period of time, because I think a lot of it has to do with conditioning, right? Like, think of it this way. Like, ever since we're little, we're like almost, I don't want to say brainwashed or anything like that, but it's kind of like it's instilled in us to say you have to go to school in order to get that job. Like, very few times that I hear when I was growing up, like, go to school and then go own your own business. Like, very, very few times did I ever hear that. So I think, first of all, it's conditioning. You know, there's a lot of conditioning growing up. And then it's also that, like you said, it's that fear, right? Sometimes it's easier to kind of have people just tell you what to do. I mean, think about it. Like, when I was in school, people told me what time my class was. They told me what I had to do for my homework. Like, people are always telling me what to do. So when you become self-employed or you're a business owner, there's nobody telling you what to do anymore. It's kind of like it's up to you. So I think that's the biggest fear first, right? It's just the fear of the unknown, right? Not knowing what to do. And when you get into certain predicaments, like, you know, how am I going to solve these problems if something comes up and I'm not sure what to do? So keeping that in mind, looking at the conditioning, looking at having to make decisions on your own. So there's pros and cons to it, but I think when it comes to like a person who's brand new, and I know I talked about it last week on the call, was you have to find somebody who can kind of mentor you in the beginning. I always think mentors are very important, and there's plenty of mentors out there. And maybe it's not people that you can talk to on a daily basis, but I'm sure if you find somebody who's successful and you're teachable and you ask them questions, like, they can help you get over those humps in the very beginning. And you'll see that their philosophy is very different from the philosophy of somebody who just works 9-to-5. You know, they believe in profits. They don't believe in wages, right? See, a lot of people believe, like, oh, I got to earn a good wage. And it's like, no, you don't want to earn a wage. You want to earn profits, right? Profits are better than wages, like that sort of mentality.
Totally agree. And I want to go back to the four categories, actually to two of them. And it was very insightful, and it brought to me personally a lot of clarity that there is a difference between self-employment and being a business owner. Would you care to share more? How do you arrive at the difference? Because I think a lot of people out there think, okay, well, I'm going to leave my job, but I'm going to become self-employed because I want to have my own business. But just listening to you a few minutes ago, there is a huge difference between being a business owner and a self-employment.
No, yes, there's a humongous difference, humongous. So whenever you look at somebody who's self-employed, like, they've kind of gone through the process already, right? So, like, let's just take an example. Like, let's say you work at 24-hour fitness or at a gym, and you're doing personal training there. I'm just going to use this as an example so people get a visual, right? But let's say you're working as a personal trainer, and they're paying you, you know, $15 to $20 an hour. Let's say you're earning $20 an hour, but you're charging your client $60. So you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I'm charging them $60, so the gym takes $40, and I only get $20. you know, if I were to do this on my own, I could charge, let's just say, $45 for an hour, and I'd make twice as much. So this starts making a lot of sense. So that's why you see a lot of people who work at a gym eventually break off and they start to work on their own. So I have plenty of friends who do that. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm at that age right now, right? I'm 33 years old, so I have friends that range from, like, I don't know, 18 all the way up to, like, you know, obviously 65, 70 years old. But, like, a lot of people that are, like, my peers right now, a lot of them have taken fitness, health, nutrition, like, to a whole other level, and they've turned it into a business. But even though I tell them, like, hey, that's great that you have a business, but really you're self-employed, because they're out there training people all day. So they'll get up early and take their first client, let's just say, at 5. And then they'll train their next one at 6 and the next one at 7 or 8, and they keep training people all day. So, and they're loving life because they're like, man, I'm making great money. Like, I'm making twice as much as I was making before. But the problem is, as soon as they take time off, what happens? There's no income. Okay? So self-employment, time still equals money. In a job, time equals money. It's the same thing. So there's no difference between self-employment and employment to me, in the sense where the equation time equals money, it's still applicable. So the only thing that changes, though, is that in an employment, when you're an employee, you own a job, right? I'm sorry, you have a job. And as a self-employed person, you own a job. That's the difference. So as an employee, you have a job. And then as a self-employed person, you own a job. That's really the only difference. So when you move beyond it, like I said, if you shoot beyond that and you look into business owners, this is where somebody says, okay, I've been a personal trainer now for 2 years. I have 50 to 60 clients. I can't train them all myself, so I'm going to hire some personal trainers and teach them how to do the same exercises that I do with the same customer service that I do, and I'm just going to pay them $25 for their hour, and I'll take the extra 20 for myself. See, but now you've created what you went away from. Like, initially you wanted to walk away from that, and now you've created that for other people. So that's the interesting thing about, and this is a vicious cycle, right? Like, a lot of people work at a job and they say, oh, I'm only going to learn enough until I can go do it myself. So an employee eventually becomes the business owner's competitor if they decide to go open up their own business. And we see that in every industry out there, right? We see it in real estate, where somebody's an agent underneath a broker. And eventually they break away and they start their own real estate firm, right? Or somebody's a personal trainer at a gym and they break away to start their own gym. Or somebody's a head chef at a restaurant and then they open up a different restaurant like down the street or across town. So we see this happening all the time, you know? But to create that true leverage, right, there has to be a situation where both people have the same amount to gain. And that's why, once again, and I'm dripping network marketing again, because that's why I do what I do, because everybody that works in my industry, they're not working for me. They're working with me, but they have the same amount to gain. So I don't want them to break away and create their own business. I want to help them become successful business owners from day one, but I'm mentoring them and coaching them, and they're starting their own business.
Awesome. So here's an interesting question for you, Michael. Is self-employment a stepping stone or a baby step to become a business owner, or can you go for it all and become a business owner?
So you could go all in, but here's another thing about being self-employed and being a business owner. So usually being a business owner, there's a lot more responsibility because you're hiring people. Right? You have to get insurances. You have to get certain permits. Like, you have to understand a lot of different things if you're going to move into the world of being an employer, per se, right? So being self-employed, it's just you. So you're usually, like, on the 1099. You just, you know, you're collecting cash, or you're collecting whatever it is, payment, and then you're filing a 1099. You file your expenses at the end of the year, and that's it. But when you own a business of some kind, now you're paying health insurance. You're paying, like, there's just a lot of things that go into owning a business. So there's a bigger responsibility. And I think for somebody to kind of dip a toe into owning a business, I doubt it. I think you have to go all in. And the expense to get started in a business is substantial. In most cases, you're looking at least $50,000 to $100,000 to get a business off the ground. And remember, You know, over 90% of all small businesses, according to the SBA, won't succeed past 10 years. So that's what we see new Yellow Pages coming out. Like back in the day when we had Yellow Pages, like there was always like a new Yellow Book coming out. That's because some of the numbers that were there the year before were no longer there the year after. But if you're going to become self-employed, and like you said, as a baby step, it's possible. But even being self-employed, I mean, it takes a commitment too. You know, like what? Because you're still kind of like working around the schedules of other people, and you have to be on all the time. So I think it's hard. It's really, really hard to kind of just dip a toe when it comes to any type of business. It's possible. It's just not easy.
So you just introduced another word that you've kind of mentioned before in another show, network marketing. What's that all about? Talk to us about that.
So network marketing, I think, is really coming of age. And I encourage people to do their due diligence when it comes to network marketing. Because a lot of people say, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I know network marketing. But whenever people say that, I'm like, oh, really? So tell me, what is the industry generate every single year? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, how many people are involved every year? What's the growth rate looking like? You know, to see people don't really understand network marketing. Like, they kind of know it just like they kind of just know it in the sense of, like, they heard it from a friend. So it's like hearsay per se, right? But do your due diligence. Okay, so let me give you guys a couple of interesting facts. So in the year 2014, there was roughly about 15 million people involved in network marketing in the United States alone. Okay, so that's a lot of people involved in the industry. Okay, in the year 2015, there's over 21 million people involved in network marketing. These are people that are selling anything. I'm talking about like lotions, supplements, insurance. I mean, you name it, right? There's different types of products when it comes to network marketing. I think when we look back at the industry and where it started and where it is today, it's crazy because when I think about network marketing, like when my parents were much younger, like when they were about my age or a little younger, like network marketing was like the Avon lady, you know, or people hosting like these Tupperware parties, you know, people selling Tupperware door-to-door or selling Encyclopedia Britannicas. Like that was network marketing back then. Or somebody selling you a knife that cuts through a shoe and then through a tomato. Like that was network marketing way back when. But if you look at network marketing today, it's completely changed because the world has changed. Technology has changed. Management and information systems. Like all of that has really come of age. So when you look at network marketing now, like you can get a distributor signed up in your business, or you can sign up as a distributor in, let's just say, Mexico, and you can generate a sale in Mexico, and that will get translated to a distributor's account, let's just say your sponsor's account in the United States, and you can get paid in American dollars all within 1 week. So imagine that. Like, how crazy is it where you can literally have a global business from day one? And that's really what network marketing provides. So when people do their due diligence, that's why the industry is growing and it's coming of age, because people are starting to see, like, wait a minute. Like, it works. It's legitimate, and it offers a lot of benefits. So I'll give you an example. So for me, right, I'm out in Greece right now, but I'm still not stopping my business. Like my business hasn't hit a halt because I have over 1,500 distributors. So for people who don't understand the term, just think about people that are sales associates, right? People that sell products and services and recruit other people who sell products and services. Like I have over 1,500 active distributors in my business who are all building their own business. Now, some say, well, aren't those self-employed people for you? And I'm like, no, because these people can also go out there and sponsor associates, so technically they can have people working under them. So they're not self-employed as much as they are business owners, just like I'm not self-employed as much as I am a business owner, because I can have leverage off of the efforts of other people. And that's, in a sense, where there's a difference between self-employed and business. Remember why I said time equals money for an employee? Time equals money for self-employed. Well, in the world of business, time does not equal money. In the world of business, people equal money. The more people you have working for you, the more money you make. That's why Facebook, do you think they're always hiring or firing? Google, are they always hiring or firing? See, these are companies that are always looking for people because they know that the better people they have in their business, the more people they have in their business, the more their company grows. So same thing for me. The more people I have in my business, the more my business grows, because I have more people out there promoting products and services that contribute to the ultimate cause, which is to educate people about health, but also it creates an income for me.
What do you say to the people, and I understand this, for the people in the audience that feel, well, network marketing, it's all about sales. It's about trying to convince somebody to buy your products and blah, blah, blah. What do you say to that?
What I say to that is think about any business you know and see if there's not a business out there trying to convince you to buy a product. Like, what does McDonald's do? They're trying to convince us to buy their burgers over Burger King, right? And what's Burger King trying to do? Trying to convince us to buy their products over somebody else's. And same thing, what's Apple trying to do? Apple computers. They're trying to convince us to buy their iPhone versus the Samsung phone, right? So just think of any company out there. Every company out there is promoting a product. And even think of yourself as an individual, right? How many times have you recommended a good movie? How many times have you recommended a good restaurant? You know, how many times have you recommended a good book? So the point is, we're always doing sales. Sales is just a part of what we do as people. We're recommending products and we're recommending services. The only difference is that there's very few people out there that actually get paid to recommend products and services. Business owners get paid to recommend products and services, while employees don't really, right? They get paid hourly, so it doesn't matter how many products and services they recommend. They're getting paid on a linear income.
Okay, so now you're probably, you know, listening to you, Michael. People are probably thinking, okay, you know what? You're opening up my eyes. I'm open to possibilities here. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to start making some more money. I'm ready to have the freedom that I've been looking for. How do you decipher, or how do you figure out what network marketing firm or company to get involved with?
See, that's a really good question. I would say number one, the first thing you want to do is don't just go look for someone that you know who's a good friend and sign up with them. And the reason why is because that's kind of like one of the problems in our industry. So I said a lot of great things about network marketing, but let me tell you the problem. The problem is that it usually only costs about, let's just say, anywhere from $200 to about $1,000 to get involved in network marketing. So basically anybody can get involved in network marketing. And because anybody can get involved, you're giving people power who don't, normally probably don't know what to do with it, right? Like, you're giving somebody a business who doesn't know how to run a business. So, like, let's say, for example, Al, let's say we took 100 people and we told them, okay, here's a restaurant. We're giving them keys to a restaurant and we're going to charge them $1,000 to own the restaurant. And they have to hire employees on their own. They have to run the restaurant on their own. They have to do the inventory on their own. They have to do everything on their own. But we sell them the restaurant for $1,000. And then let's just say they have to pay $200 a month for utilities and everything else. Let's say it's a sweet deal like that. How many restaurants do you think would still be in business in 10 years? If you gave just the average deal, like the guy off the street says, here, here's a restaurant, here's a team, you get $1,000 from me, $200 a month, and you have the restaurant. So out of those restaurants, how many people would really succeed? And my thought is all of them, for sure. Because not everybody's going to put in that hard work. Not everybody's going to get better. People are going to read books on how to run a restaurant. And personal development that comes into play when you run a business of any kind, especially when it comes to network marketing. So the first thing you want to do is think about what products or what types of services are you passionate about. Right? What's something you like? Like, if it's health, okay, cool, then it's health. If it's beauty, awesome. Right? If it's technology, and first of all, what are some things that you're passionate about? Now, if you're not passionate about any product and you're like, well, I just want to get paid, right? That's my whole goal. Then I would definitely consider looking at a company that has already been established. Number two,
Michael,
is look for a company that's established. A lot of can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah, you were breaking up there for
Hello?
The last minute. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. So I would say number one is find a product that you're passionate about, something that you're passionate about, like health or beauty or technology, whatever it is. And then number two is look for a company that's established. Most people get excited about network marketing with the idea that if they're one of the first people involved, that they're going to succeed, right? That's like the pioneer mentality. Like, if I'm one of the first people in, I'm going to succeed, which is totally, like, far – it's totally far off from the truth. So don't just look for a company that's brand new, because looking for a company that's brand new, you're running a high risk. You're running a high risk of that company not being there. Just like traditional businesses fail within the first 10 years, so do network marketing companies. There's a lot of network marketing companies that open up. There's a site called the Direct Selling Association, DSA.org. And if you go there, you can see that every year about 2,000 network marketing companies open up. And only about 1% of them will succeed past 5 to 10 years. So when you look at those numbers, it's staggering, right? You're like, oh my gosh, so how do I pick the right one? That's why I suggest that you go for a company that's established. At least 5 years in business is a pretty safe bet. 10 years is usually good. And then people will say, well, if it's been around 10 years and it's too late, everybody has already joined. And I'm like, no, no. When I got involved in the network marketing company that I work for, USANA, the company had already been around for 15 years when I got started. And it didn't make a difference. Okay, so I'm just letting you guys know, you want to start with a company that's already established, because the worst thing about network marketing is to sign up and work hard, and then that company is not going to be around long term, right? That's why we hear so many cautionary tales and people saying they got involved and it didn't work out because the company shut down and things like that. It's awful. It happens. But that's why I'm giving you guys those tips. Look for a company that's established. Look for a product that you're passionate about. And then get to know the leadership in the company. Like, get to see who you're going to be working with. You know, who are the leaders in the company? Who are the people that are going to be mentoring you, at least for the first 90 days? That's really important. You know, if you have those three things down, then I think you're putting yourself in a really good position to succeed in network marketing.
Bob, can I assume that USANA was supported you to get you to your millions?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Can I assume, or can we assume that it is through USANA that you became a multimillionaire?
Yes, it was through USANA. And now I've opened up investments into, like, precious metals, stocks, real estate, and I've done other things. But my biggest cash cow, or what generates reoccurring income on a weekly basis, is my USANA business, because it continuously grows. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I have distributors, like I said, 1,500 worldwide that are promoting the product. So it's definitely a very, very lucrative and successful business.
Awesome. Any final thoughts or comments for our audience?
No, I think for people that are on the call, I just want to close with this. If you're going to do any type of business, you want to make a commitment for at least 10 years. And I know it sounds like a long time, right? Like 10 years, my gosh. But like, no, seriously, like going with the mentality that you're going to stick with it for 10 years. You know, if you guys remember my story a few weeks back when we first started doing these calls, it was really hard. The first year I didn't see a lot of success, and that's when most people tap out and quit. So I would say have that staying power, give it a 10-year commitment, get some mentors, rub elbows with the right people, and work on yourself every day.
Awesome. And for the audience, have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let me write your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. Contact me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, Michael and I will be sharing our wisdom and on health and freedom. And it'd be great to join us and tell the world about this amazing show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything our past is in our future. It's for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Michael, thank you for taking your time with us, even though you're on vacation. I greatly appreciate you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Al.